Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
So, today we're going to be hearing from Dr. Agatha Strojcik. May I call you Agatha?
Yes,
Robert. Okay, thank you. Agatha popped across the Baltic from Poland, where she works as a dietitian at the Medical University of Warsaw, to help us understand, she came to attend this year's annual meeting of SBGAN in Helsinki, and for her to leave without providing a podcast interview was not to be thought of. We had to have her, and she's here. She's going to address for us the food ladder in theory and in practice. That is, once you've, through an elimination diet, you've identified particular substances as allergens, what's the best approach to take to reintroducing them? And how is it that some families don't reintroduce them? How can you work with families and with the affected children to ensure that the food ladder not only functions, but is made practical use of by the people whom you're counseling? So, I've tried to explain what the food ladder is, but not being a dietitian, I'm sure I haven't done it correctly. What's your take on the food ladder?
I start from introduction what the food ladder is. Food ladder was first developed as milk ladder in 2013 by Milk Allergen Primary Care Consortium, and it's actually comprised gradual introduction of food allergen in small amounts in extensively heated forms, which is then processed to smaller amounts and less heated forms of food allergens.
Heating, if I understand it right, alters the antigenic nature, because denaturing of proteins changes their conformation and makes it more difficult for the body to recognize them as an allergen.
This is a very important point, because it's actually the basics of food ladders. So we actually use the lower allergenicity of extensively heated form. We need two factors to make it allergenicity lower. It's actually the proper heat. We usually introduce it, for example, in milk ladder, we usually introduce food allergens as muffin or cookie. So it's actually heated in 180 degrees in, for example, 30 minutes. And the other factor, so the first factor is heat, and the second factor is wheat. So it also, as I said, it is cookie or muffin, because it also consists wheat butter matrix, which actually decrease bioaccessibility of food allergens. So heat actually, as you said, it actually leads to degradation of food allergens, and the other one, wheat butter matrix, leads to a lower bioaccessibility of food allergens. And the both factors, heat and wheat, leads to lower allergenicity in case of extensively heated forms.
I'm intrigued by the idea. It's such a lovely little rhyme. Neat, heat, wheat. Okay, but does this work with other grains, with other cereals?
And it's actually an excellent question, because it's not so simple. So I mentioned wheat because wheat is very special, and it actually creates this matrix. But there were some studies that in case of other grains, for example, for rice, corn, it's not the same way. So it can not decrease allergenicity. So this is actually the difficulty in children with additional concomitant wheat allergy, gluten allergy, or celiac disease, because we have difficulty what actually you can safely introduce. So we can, and it's also actually the important thing, if we even child tolerates this muffin based on wheat, it doesn't mean that it will tolerate muffin based on other flours.
Interesting. Okay, but I chose that opportunity to dart in and to distract you from what you wanted to say, which is that that's how there are two basic steps in this, or two basic components to the process of making milk less antigenic: heat and wheat. But what comes after that?
So the first step of milk ladder is usually extensively heated form, baked form. The first step is usually cookie. Sometimes we start from muffin. And then when child tolerates this baked form, we usually move forward after the specific time. So we have some kind of break period between steps. And then we move to, for example, pancake. The another step is cheese, the next, which can be baked. The next step is yogurt. And finally, we assess tolerance to pasteurized milk or milk formula. And this actually, the tolerance, and true tolerance, is actually when child tolerates unheated milk. So this is the long process. But actually, it's very beneficial. And actually, even toleration, when child tolerates even the single forms, like for example, only baked form, it's really helped to increase the diversity of the child's diet. So it
makes so many other forms of milk tolerable to the child, acceptable. Yeah. But now we come to the question of how tolerance is defined and how tolerance is assessed. How do you know when a child is tolerating the milk muffin?
So we actually perform a food reintroduction following milk ladder or egg ladder. We can do it in two places. So we can do it at home, and it depends from on child's risk, individual risk. Because if it's, for example, child with low risk, so low risk of adverse reaction, we mean child with mild, moderate, non-IgE mediated food allergy, we can do it at home as home reintroduction. So it should be guided by dietitian, but it can be reintroduced by parents. But actually, parents should be educated about adverse reaction, which can happen, and which can be assessed as adverse reaction, as allergic reaction, because not always it has to be allergic reaction.
I'm a nervous father. What should I watch out for when I give little Tomchik his first muffin?
So it depends actually of the previous symptoms of the allergy, and also is it IgE-mediated or non-IgE-mediated food allergy. But most common symptoms are, I think, priorities, deterioration of atopic dermatitis, sneezing. So it can be different, depends on the situation. Or the symptoms which we fear the most and the parents fear the most is anaphylaxis.
Oh yeah. Well,
but I can assure you that anaphylaxis is rather rare in case of assessment of tolerance with baked forms. We in our clinic performed these challenges in children with very high risk food IgE mediated cow's milk allergy and egg allergy, and it's really anaphylaxis is really rare, so it's rather safe. But I came to another point that if we have child with high risk IgE mediated cow's milk allergy or egg allergy, we should perform it this reintroduction at hospital under the supervision of doctor, pediatrician, gastroenterologist, because if we need to administer some medicines, for example, antihistamines or adrenaline, in the worst case, we need to be prepared.
If you need to move fast, you need to move fast.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, there are benefits, of course, to milk and egg tolerance in that a child doesn't have to watch out what he or she eats, and in that the family can resume a more normal or a more usual pattern of mealtimes and of sharing of foods. All that's great. I guess that's one of the positive outcomes that we observe socially. What about positive outcomes clinically, more broadly?
I think the most important benefits of reintroducing milk and egg allergens into child's diets are we can achieve faster tolerance to cow's milk and eggs proteins. Another one is increased diet diversity, because if child tolerates food allergens, we can expand diets. Mm-hmm. In the very important thing, it's also that we can decrease fear and anxiety of parents, which is highly important.
Yes.
You understand it as a parent.
Oh, yes.
But also, I would like to share, we have the discussion with other dietitians about that during last Espegan Congress, that also we need to take care about that it's very important if child tolerates some forms of milk or some form of egg, it's also decrease the, maybe the need to read labels so accurately, because we can actually expand our diet, because sometimes we have trace amounts of food allergens in many products. So many products just need to be eliminated from child's diet. So in case if we have some kind of tolerance to baked forms, some kind of processed foods can be reintroduced also. So it makes lives of parents easier.
Well, I'm not particularly nervous about giving Tomczyk milk and eggs, not anymore, but he's afraid of them. He's had bad experiences associated with eating milk and eggs, and he doesn't trust those foods. How do we get around that?
So I think the most important thing when we reintroduce foods, especially when parents is very anxious and has a lot of fear, which is very common, we need to develop, I think, the good partnership, the trust between us, and also education. We need to make sure that parents understand what is the protocol of food ladder, what are the adverse reaction, how to react to adverse reaction. But because many times, even if it's oral food challenge at hospitals, sometimes we do it because of high fear of parents.
Social issues, really, yeah.
Yes, so it's we sometimes do it in hospital if it's related to big anxiety of parents. But then after each step, after each oral food challenge with, for example, the first step, we need to regularly introduce these food allergens at home to maintain tolerance. And we need to, actually, the parents need to be, we have to discuss it with parents and be sure that he will adhere to this protocol, and he will regularly also introduce this food allergens in tolerated form and tolerated amounts, which is very important to maintain tolerance.
Well, that's important for sure, because, you know, there are times when I'm struggling with Tomczyk to get him to eat some egg or some milk, when I think, wouldn't it just be simpler just to go back to the way it was when he didn't eat any of those? But we've gone through this food ladder, we've introduced the foods, we've made sure he doesn't have any adverse reactions. Are we safe? Are we really safe now? Is there a chance that, I mean, if we don't continue to give him these foods, then he'll relapse, won't he?
Yes, and we had that situation also, cases in our practice, that some parents stopped to reintroduce food allergens, for example, baked forms.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually, we did, it was a very interesting case, because we repeated oral food challenge at hospital, and it actually, he lost tolerance, which was previously achieved because of not adherent, because he was not regularly introduced these food forms. So it's very important to do it. But sometimes we also find it, some barriers to reintroduce it regularly. And this, I think, it's very also important for dietitian, because dietitian can actually overcome these barriers by proper education and discussion with parents. So, for example, the first thing is to find the proper and appropriate forms to reintroduce food allergens. So, for example, we because main barrier is fear, and is fear of parents, but also strong food preference of a child. We have, I think we have some kind of very high rates of feeding difficulties right now. They are very common. And even without feeding difficulties, child tend to have strong food preference. So we always need to take it into account and consider them to find the most proper food to reintroduce to keep it regular.
Well, we started this process with Tomczyk when he was only 5, and he's 7 now, and I guess we've made some progress. But
it was a long time.
It was a long time, and it was a struggle, I tell you. But will he grow out of this hypersensitivity as he ages? I mean, when he's a teenager, I won't be able to control anything that he eats.
But you touch a very important thing, because we know, and this is actually the matter of discussion, that most of children, most of infants who have confirmed cow's milk allergy or egg allergy will outgrow those allergies.
Oh, that's
with
a
time.
Relief.
However, we don't know when. Exactly. And it takes time. So we usually, and we know that most children, about 70% of children, also can tolerate baked forms. So that's why it's so important to check the tolerance to baked forms, because it can help to reintroduce, for example, milk, which is very important in child's diet because it has a high nutrition value. It's also it's a main source of calcium and protein. So it's very important to reintroduce it in baked form if it's tolerated. And it's actually, I mentioned it before, but it's also important for faster achievement of tolerance, which is also shown in some studies for food ladders.
Well, I'm certainly glad that Tomczyk doesn't respond badly to wheat, that he's allergic to milk, yes, he's allergic to eggs, yes, but baked milk products with wheat have been a lifesaver. What would you do if we'd come to you and Tomczyk had had celiac disease as well?
So as I already told you, the main factors which lower allergenicity of milk in heated forms are heat and wheat. And it's in case of children with celiac disease or wheat and gluten allergy, we actually need to replace wheat flour with, for example, corn or rice flour in the muffin or cookies of the first 2 steps in the milk ladder.
But you already told me also that corn and rice don't work so well.
Yes, that's why it's very difficult. What we should do in this patient? It's a very good question. So sometimes if we see that... So it depends on the individual situation. We sometimes do oral food challenge with non-wheat muffins. However, we need to be aware that it can be adverse risk reaction and child can react to these muffins. And the risk is almost two times higher than in case of wheat muffin. However, sometimes you also... For example, start from reintroduction of wheat, and then if child tolerates wheat, we go back to challenge with milk and with muffin with wheat.
Oof. Well, between one thing and another, with eggs, milk, picky eaters, and multiple sensitivities, it's not easy being a parent, is it?
No, I never say that.
And it's not easy being a dietitian either.
It's not easy to be a parent of child with multiple food allergies or even single food allergies. I always have a big respect for parents, and but I think in case of food allergies, parents are very aware, especially in case of multiple food allergies, they are very aware of what child can eat, what child cannot eat, and also, but they also want, usually they are more open maybe to reintroduction with milk, egg, with milk eclater because they want to expand child diet, because it's really difficult to compose diet in child with food, multiple food allergies. I had some interesting patients which actually have, which are allergic to almost all. So it was very, very difficult. So yes, we tried to gradually reintroduce different products to check the tolerance. So yes, but this is a great challenge.
I'm sure that with your help and with the help of others trained like you, concerned with you, active like you, life will be a lot easier for many parents, many children, and many pediatricians whom you assist in helping care for those kids. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
But we're not done yet. We're not done yet. We have to ask you for a song that will speak to our audience and that speaks to you, something to share through the Espigan favorite songs list on Spotify.
So I recommended the song, which is, I think, very famous and very common in Poland, very popular. So it's Dawid Podsiadło, Małe Miasteczkowe.
That is not a possible combination of sounds. Say it again.
Dawid Podsiadło, Małe Miasteczkowe.
If I were to attempt that in English, what would I be saying?
Oh, David.
I've got her stumped,
but
folks.
I won't try to translate the surname. And it's actually like little villagers, I think. But my cousin's English teacher would be the better one to translate.
You'll have to go and listen to it, people. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.